Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends all around the world. Occasionally, it's good to pull off the busy highway and get a nice scenic overlook of the landscape from a large panorama viewpoint. Sometimes it's helpful to do that in our journey of life, isn't it? Today, let's do that in our journey through the Bible. Back on July 5th, I started our Genesis journey in Genesis chapter 11 with the Tower of Babel story, and yesterday we ended the Genesis journey with the death of Joseph. Genesis 12 began the story of Abraham, and that would have been about the year 2080 BC. Joseph died in approximately 1805 BC. The next book in the Bible is Exodus, and the next really significant event in Bible history is the birth of Moses, which happened in about 1525 BC. Of course, the big question is, so what happened between the end of Genesis and the beginning of Exodus? That's almost 270 years of time. The simple answer is one word, slavery. The next obvious question is, how did the descendants of Jacob and Joseph allow themselves to become enslaved? Oh, my friends, the answer to that is a very important life lesson for us in 2021, wherever you live in the world in the 21st century. Again, it's one word, complacent. The descendants of Jacob simply enjoyed life and became complacent in the best of the land in Egypt, to the point they were totally unaware of how things were gradually changing in the society all around them. Months turned to years, generations came and grew old and died, and new generations were born, and then suddenly they were ensnared by their own complacency, bondage, slavery, with no way out. We'll look at Exodus chapter 1 today and ask ourselves, am I living complacent? Are things happening all around me in this world that could actually enslave me and I don't recognize it? But first, I know some of you have been asking for both a map of this season of history where the Genesis and Exodus story take place and also a timeline to help us see when all these things actually happened in world history. So I'm including in my notes a map, even though it is titled Babylonian and Assyrian Empires, which would have been several hundred years later. This is the region for both Genesis and Exodus. May I invite you to look at several specific points? You'll notice the city of Ur in the lower right corner of the map. That is Abraham's birthplace, and from which he, Sarai, and Lot left with his father Terah on their way to Canaan. They stopped in the city of Haran, located at the center top of the map. There Terah died, and then Abram, Sarai, and Lot continued their journey southwest to what was then called Canaan, and the city later known as Jerusalem would be an easy way to find Canaan. You'll also see Egypt, and that, of course, is where Joseph was sold as a slave, and later Jacob's family moved to live, and where the book of Exodus opens. Okay, my friends, and I've also included in my notes my attempt at the timeline from Genesis chapter 12 to Exodus chapter 3. I think you'll find it interesting if you'll take a few minutes and look at it. Okay, my Walking with Jesus friends, that is quite a history journey, isn't it? By the way, may I urge you to consider this. The word history is actually his story. That's right. Human history, the history of the universe, in fact, any history is actually a story being written by the eternal, almighty, holy God, who is sovereign over all things, at all times, in all places. Thus, it's really his story. So, yesterday, we concluded the Genesis story by looking at the death of Joseph, the prolonged process of Egyptian embalming of his body and placing it in an Egyptian sarcophagus. You'll recall, Joseph had given strict instructions to his descendants to not bury his coffin in Egypt, but keep it in storage until one day in the future, when finally Jacob's large family would leave Egypt and return to their God-given covenant land of Canaan, which is in part modern-day Israel. So let's pick up the story in Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, so the land was filled with them. Please take note of something important. While I showed you in the timeline that 360 years passed between Joseph's death and their exodus out of Egypt, the descendants of Jacob sustained their identity as Israelites. During that long time, intermarrying with Egyptians was unthinkable. While I'm sure they assimilated into Egyptian culture and spoke the Egyptian language, it was important each of them could trace their lineage back to one of Jacob's 12 sons, and because God had changed Jacob's name to Israel, they were called Israelites, or the children of Israel. Secondly, one of the important parts of the covenant God had made with Abraham, and then reaffirmed with Isaac, and then Jacob, was that a community of nations, almost innumerable, would come from them. So when Exodus 1:7 speaks of their population growth while in Egypt, this was in fulfillment of God's covenant promise. And the phrase community of nations refers to the 12 tribes of people descending from the 12 sons of Jacob. So it shouldn't be difficult for us to put ourselves among these Israelites in Egypt in, oh, let's say about the year 750 BC or so. Life is good. Families are large. Farms are bountiful. Food is plentiful. And Israelites have assimilated well into Egyptian culture while retaining their own identity as Israelites. But the Pharaoh who had known and trusted Joseph was long, long gone. New pharaohs have come and gone, and things were changing in Egypt. But the Israelites didn't notice. They were living in complacency. May I ask, is that happening in your society? Are moral values, or ethics, or what is clearly right and wrong changing in your society, and does anyone notice? Are attitudes towards God and the Bible and Christians changing in your society, and does anyone notice? And then it happened. Everything suddenly changed in Egypt. Exodus chapter 1 verse 8 tells us a new Pharaoh came to power who knew nothing about the Joseph story. All he knew was there were an awful lot of these Israelite people living in Egypt, and he said to his Egyptian officials, "Look, the Israelites have become too numerous for us. We must deal with them shrewdly, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, they may join our enemies and fight against us." Can you imagine the closed-door senior leadership meetings taking place with the Pharaoh in his palace? And the Israelites don't have the foggiest idea. But this one phrase describes the dramatic and sudden change. So the Pharaoh put slave masters over the Israelites to oppress them with forced labor. Exodus 1:11. In recent years, we've seen this same thing happen in our world. It happened in Europe with Hitler in the 1930s and 40s, as Jews were slowly enslaved and then killed. It happened in Cambodia with Pol Pot in the 1970s. Remember the Cambodian killing fields? It happened in Uganda with Idi Amin in the 1970s. And it has been happening in Syria in recent years with Bashar al-Assad. Brutality by leaders against people in their own countries is horrific, and yet it is a consistent part of human history, isn't it? You'll recall I pointed out that Jacob badly failed his large family by not leading them back to Canaan from Egypt after the Joseph-era famine was over. But Joseph equally failed Jacob's rapidly growing family by not leading them back to Canaan in his generation. And before long, no Israelite alive knew anything about Canaan other than old stories told sitting around the campfire at night. And no one had any desire to leave the best of the land of Egypt and return to Canaan. Finally, complacency turned to slavery, and then there was no option, no escape. For a very long time, there was only the misery of bondage. All the while, Joseph's coffin was over there in the back room of someone's house as a constant reminder of failed leadership, as well as their collective abandonment of Canaan, God's covenant promised land. All the Israelites had, generation after enslaved generation, was the thought that somehow God was aware and would someday do something to help them, even though they knew they had enslaved themselves. May I invite us to look around, wherever we live in the world, is that a description of the current conditions in your society? May I invite us to look at our own lives, our own complacency, and consider the times in which we live. What attitudes, awareness, and actions should we consider before it may be too late, my friends?